And off we go, like with the rockets. Here we are, worldwide live, broadcasted through BBS Radio Online. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. I really think you guys are awesome. I appreciate it. I thank everyone who is here on the internet or through the internet, and those here with us on the conference call on the phone line who are live here. If you are there with us on the internet, we can't see you, we can't hear you, but we're glad you are here. And of course, being recorded, of course, yeah, through BBS. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, if you want. Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening to you, and welcome to the call.
Good evening, Mike.
All right. And somebody else came in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right.
This is one of my favorite parts, listening to people all over the country.
Yes, yes, beautiful. And, you know, I really, really think we are doing a great job, all of us, you know, being, if you are a human and you connect with this, you are an anchor for the energies, and it makes really a significant difference for all that is here in this 3D. And
yes.
I'm just very glad to be part of this, and I you know, I welcome everybody. And
we also... When people come in from across the country, it feels to me something like love light is going back and forth across the country.
Yes,
and it's just helping.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's nice.
Yep. All right. Two more people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Rick. Hi, I was Ray.
Good evening to you, Rick, and welcome to the call.
I'm Bonnie.
Thank you.
Corona.
And good evening to you, Bonnie. Thank you for being here.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
And I heard another phone come in. Welcome. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to.
It was well said, Heiss.
Hello?
Bar.
Oh, I thought I got disconnected. Sorry.
No. You're here. You're here.
We all hear you.
All right, of course, our wonderful friend, I think he's a wonderful guy, Winfrey, he's late.
And we don't care. We anytime he shows up, all we do is welcome.
Yep. And then, of course, Terry is also not here.
Oh.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Bob from Chico.
Hello, Bob from Chico. How are you?
I'm going to get better and better, Heiss.
Right, all right. Thank you for being here.
You bet. Thank you
more
for your
people.
Great service.
Hello, Raiden.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening to you, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And you?
All right. Thank you for being here. And I'm also going to welcome our beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sister, Terry Brown.
Hi.
There's
Hello.
No hiding,
Hello,
Terry.
Terry.
Thank you so much for being here.
We love you, Terry.
Oh,
we
wow.
do.
Mm.
We surround you with love light.
Yes,
well,
love,
got it.
Love.
I got it.
I don't know what we do without you.
Anita.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. We welcome you. So, Terry, any idea where the free guy is running around?
Let me go. He was just in here, so let me go and see what he's doing.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
That free guy.
All right.
He is so busy. I don't know how he finds the time to do all these, you know, Monday and Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday, and I'm so grateful that he does.
It is really, you know, I feel so blessed to have gotten a hold of this and to be involved. It's awesome. Yeah.
It is. You're the right word. That's the right word. I also feel blessed.
All right.
Wonderful.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Prudence in North Carolina.
Hello, Prudence. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well.
All right. We welcome you and we're glad you're here.
Me too.
All right.
All of us are. But we're trying to be respectful and not talk over everybody so we don't say very much. But I know that everybody is just so grateful for everybody else.
And that's where the oneness comes into play, eh?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, I've been practicing breathing in love light and then breathing it out to infinity.
Mm-hmm.
To cover the whole planet.
Just an update, this helicopter there. So wind is close.
Yeah, it's darling.
All right. Yeah, there are so many exercises and you know if they're all good, you know, as long as they're with a positive intention.
Yeah.
And it can be the simplest thing that can have a great effect on you.
Yep. Sure helps the world, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it does.
All right, Wynn. We are very glad you're here.
I don't know why.
No, well, we were not talking about you, but about the work you're doing. And we all feel blessed to be part of this group of people.
Yes,
I agree.
You know what?
Yes.
Send money and volunteer.
Yep.
Because, you know what, I can look at this and I can say, you know what, you know, from the time we started, how amazing it is that we've gotten it this far. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Heise has been on the calls for years and years, and we've gone through, what's that? Did I hear Chris say something?
Is this Dharmananda?
No,
Dharmananda?
My cat was on the phone. My cat was on the phone, I'm sorry.
Okay. And, you know, from the days... He's been on the calls from the days that Daphne was coming on the calls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And were you on that long, Dharmananda?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah.
Tonight, before we started the call, we had another volunteer that is May from Concord. She's going to touch base with Robin to see if she can be helpful with what she's doing.
What does she do?
I have positive energy, and I try not to be sick.
I see.
Yay. Good to see
the main thing is... A very positive intention. The only thing is he does not have internet, so that is a little dilemma, but the intention is good.
May, do you have good English skills?
I didn't hear you.
You have good English skills.
Not very good English skills. They could be better all the time. I'm always willing to learn.
I mean, we are going to... get into doing some heavy transcribing. We've done it in the past. And
oh, I'm a good editor myself.
Is that Dharmananda?
Yeah.
I don't think I would be good at transcribing, but I'm not really sure.
Well, you know, it's like the thing about it is it can take a long time and it can be tedious. And you have to have a lot of time. And you have to do it like a meditation, kind of, because it's, most of the transcribing is like the words of the Elohim. And you have, really, when you're volunteering, you have to tune in to the idea that what you're doing is going to help people that you're not even going to be aware who it's helping. So... But when you tune into the energy of it, like, for example, when I do these calls, I know I tune into people, and I don't know who I'm tuning into, but I know I'm doing it, and I can feel it. And you can get into that energy when you're transcribing or doing other things. And one of the things I learned, this is, I might as well start the recording now.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 13th, 2016, and everyone everywhere, and this is our call where we ask questions. And I was just making a point, and I want it has to do with volunteering and being of service. Now this is a very big principle here that I'm going to share, and I want to try to share it so you get it, that you integrate it. Everything you do is totally impacting everything about you and the world around you. And as you create service, who was that? Somebody in Texas.
No,
I'm gonna mute.
On coffee.
That was Heis.
That was you, Heis?
But I'm seeing who it is. Okay, move on.
I thought you were razzing me. All right. So everything you do comes back to you. All right? You are like a interface with the universe. So if you do negative things, they come back to you. If you do positive work, it comes back to you. You are in a constant state of reinventing yourself, whether you consciously know that or you don't. If you yell at somebody, if you judge somebody, if you talk about somebody behind their back, if you gossip, you are doing things that are going to come back to you, okay? All of us carry baggage, which you could call karma. And the art of life is being able to release your old karma and not create any new karma. And then your life starts getting better. And it's not immediate, unless you have no old karma. Okay? Anyone here have no old karma? No? Okay, good. So it's a matter of recreating yourself day by day by day, and it works. Now, I have been doing this, and those of you who have been on the call for a long time have watched me do it. Gary's been doing it. And it's not like a technique. It's a process. And it's you do positive things. You do things that really and truly help people. And you can't do them for the reason of getting over your karma. That's the side effect. If you do it for an agenda, you're going to screw it up, okay? Now, when people first discover, quote, love and light, unquote, there are these encounters they have with each other where they feel the energy, and they're very loving, and there's community. And that's all well and good. But from my experience, this is the subtlety here. This is a really big subtlety that I believe to be true. When you do work that impacts the collective or a broader kind of reach than just being friendly and loving to the people around you, you work off your stuff faster, okay? And the things you do that impact the collective, you don't get instant feedback very often, okay? In other words, it's not like everyone says, there's highs, high highs. You know, there's those good feelings when highs is on the line. And everybody loves highs, and highs loves everybody, and we know that. And that is a self-sustaining energy thing. And he's done it so long at this point, and so dedicatedly, that it's moved out of just the good feeling of saying hello. It's become a motion in his life that is always there, okay? Now, if somebody does something like transcribing and you don't tune into the fact that your work is going to be ultimately impacting lots of people, and that's a reward where you're doing something that affects the collective. If you tune into the energy of that, you're doing a very high service. If you're just thinking, I'm doing this to please win, or you know, I need something to do, it's better than not doing it. It may rub off on you anyway. But it's not as good as tuning in to the high service of the collective. It was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life was write the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, because I can, you know, I'm really good. I can write a poem in 10 minutes. I like doing something and finishing it. We do these calls. Each one is its own call. And when it's over, I'm done. It's done. I completed it. Now I took on a project that was going to take, it ended up taking 3 years. I'm working with a guy that doesn't like me, doesn't want me to do it. I don't have much money, and I say, how am I going to have the time to do this? So I'm living in my RV on the street, so I can go to Starbucks and Denny's, because something in me registered that this was going to be the most important thing I ever did in my life. And I had to get it done, even though I never wrote a book. I didn't know if it was going to read well. I didn't know if I'd get it published. But I pushed my own envelope, and I did it. And I think, you know, writing a book, you don't get feedback from other people, like saying, that's really good, or, you know. I mean, I don't know, Gary and I eventually would read the book out loud 2 or 3 times in restaurants to get it as perfect as we could, because I knew it was going to be a controversial book. And I just want, if I wrote poems, I don't have to worry about it all making sense. Poems aren't supposed to make sense, but that book has to make sense. And so, I mean, and then I started getting dream messages about how much karma I had worked off by dedicating myself like that to write the book. And I hope I'm making my point. If you want to work off your karma fast, if you do a service that's, how can I say it, impacts the collective, that's bigger than just walking little old ladies across the street. You know, it's better than telling jokes to somebody that's sick. Not that you shouldn't do any of those things. They're all good. And, you know, I do some of all of it. But the dedication required to keep your aim that high, because it's a high aim, pulls the rest of you up to that aim, okay? And that's my experience. And before you know it, your whole life shifts. And you see things, and you're doing things, and patterns weave, and karmas disappear. Because your high self recognizes all of that, and things start to shift, and you start to get wisdom, God forbid. and does that make sense? Do you guys understand that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, that's a big concept. It's a big concept. Like Carolyn in Uganda thinks like that, okay? It's not like just showing up and doing a reading and I hope everybody likes me. And my, aren't we all loving, you know? She's one step ahead. She's pushing it beyond what's going. I do that. I push things beyond where they are. I don't let them stay. And that keeps me on a very forward thrust. And, I mean, I am saying over and over again, we got to get 10 million people on these calls, but I'd be happy with 100,000 and then a million. But we don't have a lot of time, so what can I do? What can I do? What can I do in a short time to get lots of people here? Well, I'll tell you later, but I'm doing it. Now, will it work? We'll see. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. And believe me, when that happens, don't you guys go away. Because, you know, getting them here is one part of the process. And when they're here, I can't hold the energy for 10 million people. I can barely hold the energy for the amount of people that are on the call. So this is where, I mean, you know what Jesus said, this is it in action, that we have to help each other. We have to help those people. And now you start visualizing it like that, and you can start to see the big picture. And it's not about the Elohim. They're our helpers. They'll do whatever they can from their side, but we've got to ride the bicycle. And they're not going to tell you what brand of bicycle to ride or where to take it. And they're not going to help you from making any mistake, because making mistakes is part of the process of learning. And so I never said that before, but I can only say that because you guys, some of you are wondering, how come it's going so slow? I'm telling you, you may find another way to speed it up, but I'm telling you, I've watched that process work on myself. I've watched it work for Heis. I've watched it work for Terry. I've watched it work for Fred Brooks. And when you start aiming really high, and you start aiming for the collective instead of the day-to-day feeling of... Now, who's it?
I got it.
Who is that? Let's get some... Ah?
No names, other than it came from Las Vegas.
You mean, we won't tell everybody it's John, right? Hi, John. John is a technical genius. You know, John, I really enjoy your feedback, but that was going over the edge, okay?
That's funny.
So in any case.
You know, Wynn, what I want to mention is that anyone listening to this, you know, if you just, if you feel called to just be service to others with our group, you know, if you have a talent, great. But if you have willpower to do something, even greater or as great, just send an email, reply to any of Vin's emails, and talk a little bit about yourself and see if, you know, you can be of support to our group.
You know, a lot of people are afraid to do stuff. They're afraid they'll fail, okay? It's like I'm creative, and I'm looking to stir the mix. So I can figure out how to create potentials for people. Volunteering sounds boring, okay? Sounds tedious. Doing transcripts, it sounds that way when you first hear it. So I don't know how to... these are all actually opportunities. If I said, how would you guys like a free way to speed up your evolution? Okay? Everybody would say, yeah, let it go. Well, I'm telling you, I believe this works this way. And if I'm wrong and it doesn't work for you in the way, you don't have to continue, you know?
Exactly, because it's just, you know, free will. If you don't like it, you hang up. and you discontinue.
Yes.
But you don't, no signature, no fine print. It's just, you know, do it.
Yeah.
Until you're sick of
just
it.
Just do it. You know, this is a very seat of your pants organization. I mean, people show up, they do things, they either stay, they don't stay. If they don't stay, whatever you do, we receive graciously. It's like, for example, there's some people on this line that are really doing the very best they can, and they're still having problems. They're still having trouble getting out of bed. They're still depressed. It's like, you know, with my sister, you all heard the Cheer Up Committee. We should be organizing Cheer Up Committees. We should have people that have spare time and don't know what to do with it, and people that need phone calls and people, you know, cheering them up, talking to them, calling in the light. You know, you say, what am I supposed to do? What's my role? What's my role? Okay, you're supposed to go to chiropractic school for 3 years to be a chiropractor. No, you don't need to do that. It's like when it doesn't matter who gets the credit, and when you can take the joy in changing someone else's life. Now, you got to do it. You can't do it, and particularly if you need to make money. It's like I'm hoping to create some businesses, and I'm thinking about this. See, I have to create things that don't hook me, okay? That means if I create something, someone else has got to take responsibility for it. Because right now, I've got about 10 jobs, and I'm only doing all of them half-assed. And they're still working. I mean, they're still succeeding. And I can't even, I'd like to be doing them quarter-assed or 10%-assed, because the most important things I do are write, speak in front of people, and I have to give myself the freedom to do that, okay? Also, I have to make sure Terry is okay, because Terry is such an important part of this work. Terry and I got into a fight. Terry?
Yeah.
Can I tell everybody why we're getting? Should I tell everybody why we're getting into a fight today?
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay.
Can I tell them?
Yeah.
It sounds funny. It's funny. You know, Terry is like one in a billion. Okay, we are so lucky to have Terry, and you know, Terry. Terry runs, maintains the pendant business, which is, that if it wasn't for that, we'd be running our shows from Skid Row or from my RV on the road somewhere. And it wouldn't be so bad if it gets hot. But nonetheless, because of Terry's nature, you know, and I was thinking this today, that the Elohim, when we talk about the why they created a physical universe, it was because there was persistence. And where they were, there was no persistence. Everything was in the moment. Well, Terry is still partially in that zone where there's no persistence. And it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating for me because I'm trying to ground this pendant business. And I tell her, listen, we got to figure out a way where when I teach you something, a week later, you don't forget it. Or when you write down a password, or when you have a new thing that you need a password for, a week later, you've lost the password. You know?
Not anymore, though. I've got a book I read about.
She's getting better. But she was taking it personally, like she wanted to prove herself. Don't tell me I'm that way. Well, you know, it's been years now. I know, you know, this is a pattern. She doesn't have, if we didn't need money, if we didn't have to make money, so we're training somebody, Lena, and maybe it'll work to help do some of the stuff, to relieve some of the stuff that Terry does, because otherwise we'd be doing more readings for people. And or we'd be going out giving workshops or something like all those things. But I can't do it when I got to keep the bottom grounded level in balance, okay? So Terry got mad at me for telling her she forgets passwords. She says, don't tell me, I'm not going to do that in the future. She tells me that all the time. And I tell her, no, it's great you are the way you are, because she's not good with persistence, all right? Persistence, I don't mean persistence, she's very persistent in one way, but persistence means repeating a pattern. What do I mean by persistence there, Terry? You know, she spaces out. She's in the other dimensions, and so she can't remember things. And
I can remember, but what happens is, like, maybe I work with somebody, and I got to go and pray for 3 days, and then my attention's on that, and I don't even think of it. You know, all my energy is going into the prayers. And so then he reminds me.
You see, when you say that, you just had 100 people saying, how do I get Terry to pray for me?
Just for a couple of days.
Just for a couple of days. Aren't I worth it? I'll tell you, one of the ways to do it is to keep asking questions on Wednesday and keep putting things in the light on Sundays, because she pays attention to those lists. And now Fred is paying attention to the list. Fred and his friend Liz. So, and Fred is strong. So that's a really good way to get attention. And very oftentimes Terry will go through that list and she'll be thinking about somebody afterwards. Okay? So I just want to explain to you
Linear speaking, we are running out of time.
Oh, we are.
Ding dong. It's the doorbell ringing.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't usually talk about what I just talked about. That's like a whole new way of looking, and I didn't want to stop myself because... all right, here we go. You're not ready, are you, Terry?
No, but I showed up. I'm here.
You showed up. What's the password? You remember the password. Okay. All right.
I remember to show up.
usually you remember to show up. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We are moving into the space and connecting over the whole Earth. The side of the Earth that the United States is on, the side of the Earth that China and the other nations are on. And as we do it, we see the various activities that people are doing. The cars in China and the storms and we are an aspect of the Elohim and an aspect of the Ra group, and we come together to be of assistance and answer questions where we can. And if we ever see anything that does not resonate with you, then do not take it as yours, as it does not apply to you at that time. So do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question, let me see here, is from Anita. And see if you can tune into her. She didn't give her city. But her question is, do or can angels become born on Earth? If so, they are part human and angel, a hybrid. Could they conceive a child? I saw a silhouette of a man in my basement.
Designed to bluff the Russians.
Remember where we died. Could this black shadow of a man be the deceased man? I had the feeling he just wanted to see me and never felt any fear. And I just want to make a comment and add maybe a sub-question to this. When Anita asks if angels become born on Earth, if so, they are part human and part angel question, it's a hybrid question, could they conceive a child? It seems to me an angel is an energy form. A human is an energy form in a body. Energy forms are extended into different densities. And so humans extend into different densities. Angels extend into different densities. So an angel is not necessarily different than a human. An angel energy form, just one is in a body and one isn't. And one has certain attributes to it because they're not in a body. And an angel would normally be connected with the service to others, intent, and also to the Elohim and Ra. That's my thinking about it all. And I guess some people are going to think, how about ETs? How do they fit into it? So now, let me turn it over to our sources. If they want to address the angel question first, and then we'll ask the other one again.
Thank you. Yes, when an individual who has been in the heaven realm and has worked as an angel or existed as an angel with angel wings and has the angel light body, the angel astral body in which they appeared in their form in the heaven realm, then they decide to come to Earth. They need to lower their frequency and to then merge into a human body. The dominant body would then be the physical body, and if a person was really, really sensitive to energies and would see energies, they would see this individual so born with angel wings, with an aura, an angel-type aura in the physical body. So they would not necessarily be, they wouldn't be a hybrid, as you think of a hybrid, like a human body with actual physical wings that one could see. But if one was very psychic and looked at the energy forms, they could see that there was the body and the body's aura and the individual, the angel there with the angel wings that were in light form. And they would work together. The angel would be directing the physical body. The person in the body would be directed. The body functions, everything would be monitored and directed by the angel. this would be a composite being, and everyone is a composite being with their light body and their physical body, which has molecules and cells and systems, chakra systems, energy systems, all working together to create the person. That is the answer to the first part.
She's asking about the silhouette of a man she saw where the ashes in her basement, where the ashes of a male family member reside. And so could this shadow be the deceased man? And did he just want to see me? Go ahead.
He wished to make himself known to you, as sometimes it is very difficult for an individual who has transitioned to exist near his former body and to not make himself known. He is desirous of contact and wishes to speak with somebody. If you see him again, you could speak to him and even do with him, welcome him, and do what is called the death walk. Ask him if he wishes to move to a higher plane where there are individuals that he can speak to. And then if he is agreeable, then he can be transported. If you ask, say, the Elohim to help him transport to the heavenly realm, and he can move into a tunnel of light, which could be placed there by the Elohim, or by the heavenly realm, or by angels, and he could move to the heavenly realm, where he could then resume contact with other beings in their light bodies.
Is that something that she could potentially call Fred on to help with, and it would increase the possibilities?
Yes. It is very lonesome.
Yeah.
The gentleman in the basement is seeking contact. He is very lonesome.
Thank you. Next question. John Zaborowski wants to know, John always wants to know everything and wants it clear, like it's true for everybody, but I'll ask it anyway, and what are some of the things that we can't do, and what are the things that we can do when we're on the other side? When we are on the other side, can we eat? Can we sleep? Do we drink? Do we fly? Do we have sex? Do we dance? Do we smell flowers? Do we listen to music? Are there companies? Are there manufacturing companies? Which of the five senses can we use, if any, on the other side? What are some of the specific things we can't do when we're on the other side?
Thank you. When you're on the other side, you have all of your senses. You can hear, you can see, you can smell. All the senses are available. If you are living, say, on this side, you still have all those senses, and the body magnifies them. But when you move into your light body, you still have all of those senses, and you can use them from the other side or wherever you are. And it is a different means of operation, molding, a mode of operation, a mode of moving, where you can intend yourself to a different location and then find yourself there, or intend yourself to visit somebody and then find yourself visiting that person. But you can do all of those things on the other side.
Sex too?
Yes.
Hi, Sid. Okay, now I'm ready to die. I mean, do you have the same, like, for example, we in our 3D bodies, we have this concentrated mass. We have blood, and we eat food. How does that work in your I guess you'd call it, it would be an astral body when you're first on the other side. How does that work on the astral?
This puts a time delay into everything, and everything is much slower. So if you need time to get something, to understand something, it is a good place to be, to move slowly. And so that when a concept comes, it needs to penetrate the whole composite. And this takes time, and sometimes the body holds back on the comprehension. And the comprehension is a little bit slower than it need be. But if someone moves over to the other side, then everything is speeded up, and everything can go much faster. Perceptions are faster. The senses are really fast. Thought is faster because one does not have to drag the body along.
So how do you eat? Do you just think of a vegetable and it appears? You think of it growing?
Because in the higher density, there are people that prepare special foods for the people there. And it provides nourishment for their light body. There are special mixtures of drinks to enhance energy, special more solid foods based upon their presence in the density above this, the fourth density, the density of life in heaven, where people sit down at a table and they share deliciously prepared food.
But do they have digestion? Do they have a stomach? Do they have astral organs? The duplication?
Yes, the food is tending to be more liquid to provide moisture for the body and to provide quick energy for the body, and is digested in a similar way as a person with a body in the earth realm. However, everything is much quicker.
And a service-to-self person who ends up dying, do they have all the same kind of luxury?
Yes, except the service-to-self person that ends up dying. Let's say they are just about totally service-to-self, and as such, they will themselves into the higher realm, that they have ingrained in their neural pathways negativity, and so they tend to be very difficult people and do not get along well and have a very difficult time. It depends upon how sensitive they are. If they are just totally service to self and do not even consider the other person, then they do not notice their faux pas or their problems, and they are a little bit in wonderment as why people shun them or things do not work out.
Is there a power where the service to self make gangs and try to steal the astral food, so to speak?
Sitting down at the table, they would tend to eat more and tend to not pay attention to if it was shared, or keep asking for more.
I see. Dan Herman asks, while dreaming, is there a way to access the higher dream planes and avoid the lower astral plane?
Before you go to sleep at night, to ask for access to the higher planes and ask to avoid the entrance to the lower planes. However, if you have something you are working out that is connected, has connections into the lower planes, then this could drag the dream into aspects from the lower planes.
And how can we use the dream state for personal growth?
Sometimes the dreams are very informative. If one has been struggling to figure out how to do something, and then they are in the dream state, and the dream state may create a situation where they interact with others in the dream state or others in the imagine others, where the situation is brought to them and they need to work through a solution, and the solution can hang with them when they wake up and they could realize, oh, that is one way to do it. That is a very good aspect and way to do that, something.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask Kathleen's question now, your last question. And Edna and Bonnie, please resubmit your question for next week, okay? And Kathleen says, we are moving from 3D to 4D and 5D. And I find time seems to race by. I used to complete morning chores by 10 a.m. and go to work around 12 or 1. Now I find it takes me until 1 or 2 to complete the same chores, and unable to get to work until 3 or 4. I find this very frustrating. I'm feeling not getting what needs to be done finished. Always interruptions. There is always something new that comes up, like this incident to create more chaos than ever before. Suggestions on how to cope with the racing time issue, chaos, and coping with all the new incidents that come up that I don't need to cope with, but somehow have to give time as well. Feeling very overwhelmed and ready to give it all up. My burden is too much to bear. I feel one more thing, and it will be the straw that broke the camel's back. I had a meltdown this a.m., reduced to tears, screaming for God to help me. How do I deal with all this and survive? Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you. If you learn to set the problems aside, leave a voicemail that you are going to not be answering your phone until a certain time, and go to work to then put your full attention on the chores that you need to get done, and to set aside from your own mind, sweep your mind clean, set any problems on the shelf to the side, and pick them up later when you have time to pick them up. But if you set aside the time for your chores and concentrate on them instead of taking each piece of things that need to be done as it intrudes on you, then this fragments your time and creates a lot more time for the final finishing of the chores. So also learn to safeguard your time and laser your attention to what needs to be done. Don't be afraid to tell someone that you cannot deal with it at that time, or to set it aside within your own mind rather than to figure this has to be solved before I go on further.
Thank you. Okay, 656. Also, another person, Jen in Cincinnati, please ask the question next week. Just write asking again, and that'll remind me, and I'll be sure to ask those questions next week on next Wednesday's call. And on that note, I'm going to end this session, and I see we got Rich Buckley and G. Bogus. Ask your question next week. I know, Rich, you asked it twice, and we'll get to it, okay? And on that note, let me unmute everybody. Here we go. Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Hi.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Angel Light among us.
Lovely. Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you. Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, everyone. Good night. Southward as you go, there is moonlight and moss in the trees. Down at Seven Bridges Road. Baby.